You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Dog Pound, give 10 hours to help your community. You can be a part of the Browns First and 10 movement by committing 10 hours of volunteer service in your community on clevelandbrowns.com. Tell us what you are doing to give back. It's easy. Use the hashtag Give10 on social media to unite us all and inspire others. By sharing your Give10 story, you could win the opportunity to be the next Browns coin toss captain on game day. 216-578-0850. We'll get back to the phone calls in a minute, but now let's turn it over to defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill.
All right, wanted to start this week by giving a heartfelt thank you out to the number one defense in the world, our military. I think the NFL this time of year does a great job recognizing the men and women that put their lives on the line to say it to for our country. And I personally just wanted to take some time to recognize our past and present soldiers for sacrificing their lives so we can be here today talking about football. We honor you, we respect you, and we appreciate you. And I thought yesterday what the Cleveland Browns did, having 100 servicemen and women out at practice, was awesome. And I think it's good for our guys to see that. It was good for our coaches to see that. So that was pretty cool. Questions?
What do you think you're going to be going against, Ben Roethlisberger or somebody else?
I can't say I would be surprised if it was Ben, but we are prepared to see Ben if he decides to play. I know he's played through some significant injuries in the past in his career. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some Michael Vick. So we are prepared as a defense to see all three if the Steelers want to go in that direction.
How does their offense change if it's not Ben and it winds up being Jones?
I thought it changed a lot when they played Kansas City. But I think as he's gotten more, he's got in there in Arizona. He was in there, obviously, last week. In the fourth quarter of that game, it didn't change much. It's probably more offensive coordinator driven than Ben at the line of scrimmage. I think he'll probably have more freedom to do some things off of what he sees on the defense than maybe one of the other quarterbacks. But, you know, I don't see it changing too much. Because he's a different element. If he is out there playing, just what he brings is so different than what the other quarterbacks can bring. Yep. Hey, sometimes we tend to overprepare. I think that's just in our DNA as coaches. You know, just in case you don't want to get caught off guard if all of a sudden there's a package in there for him.
What goes through your head when you see that huge day that Antonio Brown had last week, and what I guess allows him to keep having huge games?
I think that they did a great job scheming stuff up to get him the ball. He's a playmaker. I've been going against this guy since I was in college football, so I can't get away from him. But no, he's a heck of a football player, and some of the stuff he does on the football field, you kind of rewind it and you're, how did he do that? But he's got unbelievable ball skills. He runs great routes. He's a playmaker. He's explosive. He's dangerous with the ball in his hands. Trying to convince AG to come out of retirement for one more game and see if he can help us this week. But, I think we got a good plan. I'm excited. I'm excited for Sunday.
Oh,
in the MAC? Yeah, nobody could tackle him. Nobody could tackle him. But we did beat him. But we couldn't tackle him. Yeah, I mean that's who we are. You know, we're going to mix our coverages like we do every week, but yeah, you got to be able to play some, man. You know, you can't be in light space, and we're not a cover 2 team, so you know, we got to have the ability to mix it. And we will.
What percentage do you guys play? Can you give us an idea roughly what percentage you guys play in
this year or overall?
Is it
Yeah, I mean, just, we've had to adjust some in the secondary. You know, if you talk to Coach Halfley, he would say we've probably had more starting lineups in the secondary than we have uniform combinations. But, yeah, so, you know, we've adjusted as the year's gone on to try to take advantage of who's out there for us and what they do best. But, we identify guys that can play man coverage. That's what we look for in free agency and in the draft. I'd be lying if I could give you an exact number right now. Usually our game plans start with man, and then we complement it with zones. But I couldn't give you an exact percentage right now. It's probably over 50%.
Jim, is the biggest difference, is it just the injuries and guys have been weighing down on it? Obviously, the run game has been about the same, but you guys haven't been as good at defending the pass this year. Is it just the not being able to keep guys consistency in the lineup, or has there been something more to it this year?
I'm not going to go down that road and use that as an excuse. We need to coach better. We need to play better. We need to execute. So it's
How do you get guys to stay home? That seems to be the common theme when talking about big plays or breakdowns or whatnot. It's usually, hey, you know, we need to stay home. We need to stay in our lane, our gap. How do you, at this point in the season, I guess, emphasize that and also affect change in that regard?
Well, you practice it. You know, you explain to them the big picture of, you know, if you get wide angle away, you know, with a run and I'm the backside player, you know, you're not needed over here. So you just continue to try to coach it. Show guys big picture or show guys examples of other teams not doing it the right way and how they got hurt or how we've gotten hurt on stuff. And you know, just reps in the system. Guys starting to get a feel for it and understanding it.
But Paul Kruger, 11 sacks last year. I know not everything is sacks, but he just doesn't seem to be the same kind of player, at least not used the same way. So why can't you get him more involved in whatever you need to do?
He is involved in what we're trying to do. I think in the past couple weeks he has rushed the passer well. And again, everything to me isn't about sacks.
Right.
We played a lot of teams this year. All right, in the first half of our schedule that haven't given up a lot of sacks. The quarterbacks do a great job getting the ball out. So it's not something that I worry about. You know, we put guys in position to make plays. Paul has made a lot of plays that don't show up on the stat sheet. He has gotten a lot of quarterback hits and hurries that have affected some throws. Did get his first sack against Cincinnati. You know, like we talked about with interceptions and everything else, they come in bunches. Hopefully these next two or three or four games, you know, he keeps getting some more. But, you know, Paul is a big part of what we're doing defensively.
Jim, Steelers lost their starting center in preseason. Now
yep.
They've lost their starting left tackle, their starting running back, and yet they seem to be able to run the ball like the Broncos used to, just plug a different guy in there and averaging over 5 yards a carry. How do you see them doing that? Why are they so effective running the ball?
I think they got a really good scheme up front. I'm sure some teams are a little worried about some of their explosive playmakers on the outside. You know, they have good running backs, you know, so they and the offensive line, they got a group of tough guys that are really good for the scheme that they run. And you know, they're able to knock guys off the ball and create some lanes. And the running backs have done a good job exploiting defenses when the lanes are there.
Campbell last week in your safety situation.
I thought he had a really solid game for his first start in the NFL. I think he was 5 for 5 on opportunities. I thought he made some really nice plays in the open field. They smoked a screen out there. He was the unblocked guy in the alley. He had a really good open field tackle. He came downhill and made a great physical tackle, picked the guy up and slammed him in the alley on another time. So I was happy he fought through a hamstring injury. You know, he had to leave the game. I think it was on the second or third series. And we, you know, that's when Pop was in there. Pop came in the game for 8 or 9 plays. So, and then he came back and kind of battled through it. So I was happy with his first performance.
Jim, why did Justin Gilbert get more reps against Cincinnati? How'd he do, and do you see the same thing going forward?
Well, just like you guys have been asking me the past few weeks, I thought he earned them. You know, and, you know, just the kind of way we work, if you earn them in practice, we're going to try to get you some in the game. And if you perform well in the game, we're going to try to get you more. And, you know, it's up to you to do with what opportunities you have. But I thought he was a little inconsistent. He made the nice play on the one vertical ball. You know, you could see how his ability to recover speed wise. But there's some things he still needs to work on. But he did some good things. He did some good things, and he did some things he needs to get cleaned up.
Mike said that most likely you'll have. Up this week.
Yeah.
you would still, I remember the last time we talked to you about him, he was like one of those guys that was kind of out of a bubble.
Yeah.
Late in camp, obviously had a good game against Tampa Bay. What have you seen between now and then as far as, is he in better shape?
He's in great, I think our people in the building have done a great job with him. I think he's lost about 12 to 15 pounds, which he's back to his weight, which he was at the combine. He looks faster, looks leaner, quicker. He's going to be a part of our game plan this week. He's a guy that I hated to put on that IR designated to return because he was playing so well at the end of training camp. So he had a really good practice yesterday. We're going to see what happens today and tomorrow, and that's kind of determine how big or how small his role will be in this game plan.
What does he do well when he's playing?
He can blitz. He can play man coverage. He's got inside and outside versatility, meaning he can play outside corner or he can play inside at the nickel. So he gives us some depth, all right, at both those spots. And he's as competitive as a guy, and you like his attitude. He just brings something. He's charismatic. He's not scared to talk a little trash and put himself out there. He just brings a different element to that group.
You said you were going to give Nate Orchard more opportunities to run the passer.
Yep.
Obviously, we talked about sacks aren't everything. He hasn't had one yet. How's he doing?
Well, Nate's right now. Nate's probably playing the best against the run in that room. Okay, I do think Paul and Armani are doing a really good job on the edge rushing the quarterback. So we have gotten him some opportunities. It's hard to get him a lot when you have Krug and Armani rushing the quarterback as well as they are right now. So I don't want to say he's settled into his role, but we want to get him some more opportunities rushing the quarterback.
That was defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill speaking with the media today as the team gets ready for the Steelers. Of course, Jim O'Neill talking about a lot of things that happened against the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll discuss that, and we'll get into the defensive matchups for the Browns and the Steelers when we return. In addition to your phone calls, 216-578-0850 on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.